Kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni lahko več. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Pozdravljeni torej v današnjem kultivatorju, v katerem se bomo, kot rečeno, posvetili rezultatom splošnih volitev v Čilu. Zdaj v prvem krogu predsedniških volitev je s 27% glasov zmagala kandidatka komunistične stranke Jeanette Jara. Osvojila je pa 3% več kot predstavnik fašistične republikanske stranke José Antonio Kast. Torej, Jara in Kast sta se uvrstila v drugi krog predsedniških volitev. In glasovanje takrat je predvideno za 14. december. Sočasno so pa se volivci odločali tudi o novi sestavi zgornjega in spodnjega doma parlamenta. Največ poslancev v obeh domovih je osvojilo zavezništvo Enotnost za Čile. Na drugem mestu pa je bil blok Sprememba za Čile, tretje mesto pa je osvojil desno-liberalni blok Veliki in enotni Čile. Za analizo rezultata volitev in vse splošnega glasovanja je z mano Tim iz aktualno politične redakcije. Tim, pozdravljen.
Ja, živjo. Torej, kot rečeno, Jara je slavila na predsedniških volitvah in mogoče bi lahko začela kar z njimi. Se pravi, komunistična stranka, del katere je Jara, je del koalicije levosredinske do leve koalicije Enotnost za Čile. Zdaj, ko govorimo o komunistični stranki, je tukaj že na samem začetku treba omeniti, da to ni zares komunistična stranka, kot bi si jo predstavljali. Gre za komunistično stranko, ki deluje znotraj okvirjev neke te institucionalne parlamentarne demokracije in se nikoli ni tudi zauzemala za nekako odpravo tega sistema. No, Jara je pod trenutnim predsednikom države Gabrielom Boričem opravljala položaj ministrice za delo, že predtem pa je bila tudi pomočnica sekretarja za socialno varnost v vladi nekdanje predsednice države Michelle Bachelet. No, poleg nje pa se je v drugi krog volitev uvrstil tudi Kast, to je v bistvu zagovornik in pa podpornik diktature Augusta Pinocheta, ki je že dvakrat predtem neuspešno kandidiral za predsednika, na zadnje leta 2021, ko je v drugem krogu izgubil proti Boriču. No, so pa več kot 10% glasov osvojili tudi trije drugi kandidati, in sicer Franco Parisi, ki je ustanovitelj in pa predsednik stranke Ljudstva, to je nekak populistična, liberalna, desno-sredinska stranka. Potem je na četrtem mestu končal Johannes Kaiser, ki je čilska oziroma različica Javiera Milleja, se pravi zelo libertarni politik, in potem na petem mestu Evelyn Matej, ki je predsednica Neodvisne demokratične unije, ki je prav tako neka podpornica v bistvu takrat fašističnega diktatorja pač Pinocheta. Ne? No, in to so trije kandidati, predvsem pa zadnja dva, se pravi Kaiser in pa Matej, ki kot Kast predstavljata desni politični pol in zato, kot razloži Aldo Madariaga, ki je profesor političnih znanosti na Univerzi Diego Portalesa v prestolnici Santiago de Chile, lahko Kast pričakuje več glasov v drugem krogu in je zato tudi po prvem krogu v boljšem položaju.
Jara won by a narrow majority to Kast, but actually this was quite expected since Jara had been in a primary with all the forces of the left, so all the center left to the left was expected to support Jara, and actually she won close to 27% of the vote, and she was expected to get at least 30. I mean, at least 28, hopefully 30 or more. So actually, she won, but by a margin that is lower than what everybody expected. And then on the right, they decided not to do a primary and to go straight to the first election. And so the right-wing vote is distributed at least among three candidates who, just summing up the votes between them, gets very close to the 50% threshold that you need to win the presidency. So actually, Kast was the most voted in his bloc with around 24%, so very narrowly below Jara. He was expected to get less than that, and even it was expected that the competition between right-wing candidates would be a bit more fierce, which wasn't the case in the end. And so Kast came out as a clear winner. But actually, the prospects for the runoff is that even though Kast lost to Jara, he has all the chances of becoming the next president, because just arithmetically, if you sum up all the votes from the right wing, from the radical one that was even more radical than Kast, I mean, similar but more radical, and then the kind of center right candidate, I mean, if you sum up all of that, that gets very close to 50.
Ok, malo si že nakazal, da mogoče ta komunistična stranka Hare morda ni na tak način komunistična, kot si bi mi nek sovjetski komunizem predstavljali, tako da bi te prosila, če mogoče malo poglobiš to dejstvo.
Ja, seveda. Mislim, že dejstvo, da deluje v parlamentu, da se potegujejo njeni kandidati na volitvah, tako predsedniških kot parlamentarnih, v bistvu zelo veliko že pove o sami stranki. Komunistična stranka je bila tudi del zadnjih dveh vlad, v katerih so imeli, mislim, da se pravi pod Bachelet je imela komunistična stranka dve ministrstvi, v času Borčevega mandata pa tri ministrstva. Tako da v bistvu je sama stranka zelo zmerna in je tudi, se tudi povezuje z levosredinskimi strankami in zato tudi tvori to zavezništvo, enotnost za Čile. No, stranka je nastala drugače v začetku prejšnjega stoletja, v 20-ih letih, v bistvu v času industrializacije, ko so se tako delavci kot delavske organizacije povezovale, no in potem je s časoma pridobivala podporo različnih sindikatov, recimo premogovnikov, tekstilnih delavcev in pristaniških delavcev, ampak je v času diktature v bistvu njena moč zelo upadla, zaradi represivnih ukrepov diktatorja je bila celo preganjena, njeni člani so bili ubiti, tako da je s časom v bistvu se spet nekako bi rekel rehabilitirala in tako v zadnjem desetletju spet postala del nekega tega parlamentarnega institucionalnega okvirja in kot rečeno v zadnjih dveh vladah je imela tudi po več ministrstev, v trenutni vladi je imela do odstopa Hara, ki je aprila zapustila položaj ministrice za delo zaradi predsedniške kandidature. Do takrat so imeli tri ministrstva, in sicer poleg ministrstva za delo še ministrstvo za pravosodje in človekove pravice ter ministrstvo za izobraževanje. Zdaj članica komunistične stranke je pa tudi generalna sekretarka vlade in Aldo zdaj pojasni, da v bistvu ta oznaka komunistične stranke nekatere voljivce tudi odvrne.
There's a very strong cultural negative identity towards the Communist Party. So she's definitely part of the more moderate wing of the Communist Party, which is already a quite moderate Communist Party in comparative standards. It has participated in already two governments in coalition. I mean, it's since forever it's committed to, you know, institutional democracy, and so it's not a typical communist party. But still, the label communist is not one that the people is all the people at least is very keen, and the label is also used to show, you know, to tap on the fear angle and where does fear come from? Well, we have examples from what happened during the Allende years. And there was a lot, I mean, irrespective of whether you think that was good or bad, there was a lot of, you know, it was disorder, there were a lot of protests, and then coup d'etat came. So in a way, it reminds people of that, you know, epoch.
Pa verjetno tudi imajo nekateri voljivci predsodek do komunistične stranke tudi vpliva na možnosti v drugem krogu, najbrž.
Ja, in zato se je tudi sama želela oddaliti tako od članstva v komunistični stranki kot od same stranke v bistvu. In je tako po zmagi na strankarskih volitvah enotnosti za Čile v bistvu povedala, da je kandidatka levosredinske koalicije in ne komunistične stranke, in potem temu dodala, da bo pred drugim krogom predsedniških volitev tudi premislila o strategiji in o svojem članstvu v stranki. No, in sogovornik pove, da to ni prvič, da bi se kak politik tudi odpovedal članstvu v svoji stranki, zato da bi slavil na volitvah.
I mean, it's not something that's completely new. So the reference, and she has also said this, the reference is President Patricio Aylwin, who was the first president after the dictatorship. And he was running a platform of several parties that had been in the opposition to the dictatorship. And this was a very wide arch of countries from the mostly the Christian Democrats and the socialists, who had been very, you know, antagonists, and they sort of made this alliance, which then produced several presidents in Chile. And actually, to show his commitment towards the coalition, Aylwin resigned his Christian Democrat affiliation. So it's not something entirely new, but of course, it sounds like something very opportunistic in the current context.
Recimo, da z nekega tega bolj oportunističnega vidika lahko razumemo to morebitno zapustitev komunistične stranke zaradi pač nekega pregona volilnega telesa, ampak kako to, da se potem to levo zavezništvo sploh odloča, da bo Jara njihova predstavnica na predsedniških volitvah?
Ja, se pravi, mogoče preden odgovoriva še na to, je treba omeniti, da je Jara na teh strankarskih volitvah zmagala z več kot 60% glasov. Se pravi, z veliko večino, in mislim, da tudi okoli 40% točk več kot naslednji kandidat. To zavezništvo je v bistvu se oblikovalo na ta način, da so se povezale stranke, ki podpirajo trenutnega predsednika Boriča. In ta koalicija se potem deli notranje na tri bloke, ki jih tvorijo tradicionalne socialdemokratske stranke na eni strani, Dostojni Čile in pa Široka fronta. Tudi te dve zadnji stranki sta pravzaprav tudi obe koaliciji. Ker vsakega od teh blokov potem dalje sestavljajo še različne leve in levosredinske stranke. Del tega je tudi recimo socialistična stranka, pa stranka za demokracijo, liberalna stranka, komunistična stranka in pa Široka fronta, to je pa ta stranka trenutnega predsedništva. No in to zavezništvo se pravzaprav vsebinsko ni zelo spreminjalo, to pomeni, da precej v bistvu saj nekaj zadnjih let zagovarjajo ista stališča, ampak se ni njeno ime velikrat spreminjalo. In tako se je pred temi letošnjimi volitvami prvič pojavilo ime Enotnost za Čile. No in na teh strankarskih volitvah je Jara premagala kandidatko Stranke za demokracije, Karolino Toha. In Madariaga komentira, da je bolj kot sama zmaga, presenetljivo to, s kakšno prednostjo je zmagala.
It wasn't a surprise that Jara won. The surprise was more than that she won by such a margin. Okay, she won by a very large margin. I don't recall the figures, but it was more than 60%. And, you know, there are several reasons for that. First is the candidate she had in front of her. So the other candidate was Carolina Toa. Carolina Toa is a long-standing figure in Chilean politics. She's been there for, I would say, 20 years now. She's been a minister under several governments. She's been a deputy. And her affiliation is with a party called Partido por la Democracia, PPD. And PPD is a kind of the more liberal wing of the center-left coalition. And she's quite, you know, she comes from the establishment. She has a very sober figure. She's very smart. She has changed a lot in the last couple of years in terms of her approach. She has gone from being very centrist to more left-wing. But still, I mean, she is very establishment. She is very sober. And she is a figure that is connected to previous governments that prominent members of this coalition used to criticize a lot. And especially the voters of this coalition. And so even though she's an intelligent, smart person and you know, would make for a fine president, it's definitely not the moment for that type of candidate.
Kako pa se komunistična oziroma levosredinska, bolj leva stranka recimo razlikuje od stranke, ki jo vodi Gabriel Burić, glede na to, da bojda paše v skupino, ki podpira trenutnega predsednika?
Ja, se pravi, tudi Burić je bil nekako malo zadržan glede podpore Hara na predsedniških volitvah, ampak na koncu seveda jo je, ker ne nazadnje je to del istega bloka oziroma iste koalicije. No, Burić drugače je pred predsedniškimi volitvami leta 2021 vodil manjšo stranko Socialna konvergenca, ki je takrat na volitvah osvojila 9 sedežev v 155 članskem spodnjem domu. V svoji predvolilni kampanji je pol takrat bolj tako ostro nasprotoval neoliberalizmu, ki ga je po državnem udaru v državo pripeljal diktator Pinochet. No in takrat je obljubil reforme pokojninskega sistema, javnega, izobraževalnega in zdravstvenega sistema, ampak njegova vlada v parlamentu ni imela večine in so te reforme obljubljene, nekatere padle v vodo oziroma so morali iskati zaveznike tudi pri desnosredinskih poslancih in so zato zelo izvodenele, v bistvu so nekako spremenjene in zelo mile različice tega, kar se je on zamislil. No in tako se v bistvu ta stranka, ki je bila ustanovljena takrat pred volitvami, zelo hiter morala prilagoditi na ta sistem parlamentarni oziroma vladni, nekako bolj to razliko med Burićem in njegovo stranko ter Hara na drugi strani pa predstavi Madariaga.
Programmatically, they don't have a lot of differences. Maybe Burić wanted in discourse, but he didn't do it during his government, had a more sort of pro-rights, pro-value social rights, and maybe pro-environmental policy discourse, but he didn't deliver, particularly the environmental part. When you see Hara's program, and in general, the Communist Party, they're more developmentalist, so they don't care about the environment that much as far as you create jobs and economic growth through the state, obviously. And welfare, but you know the political culture of the Communist Party is very different from the political culture of Frente Amplio, which is the party of the president Burić. Communist Party is a decades-old party with established way of doing things, a lot of internal cohesion, and so that's very different from Frente Amplio, who has very quickly acquired positions of power. They still haven't gotten, they still have to solve a lot in terms of internal cohesion, how to deal with stuff that happens to any organization, like when there's a scandal of one of their members, what should they do? Should they shield? Should they right away sell them or so on? And so this creates, I mean, one of the current presidency has suffered, I would say, from many of these issues in terms of the party of the president being a very young party with young members, with not a lot of experience in public affairs. Whereas the Communist Party, even though they haven't been part of a lot of governments, some governments lately, because it has been a strategic decision of the party that at some point it was out of the political spectrum because they advocated like more radical policies, Then they made a strategic decision to be part of the kind of center-left coalition, and they have been part of governments, and so they have moderated their stances, and they, you know, they have their ways of dealing with stuff, but it's a much more established political culture there.
Glede na te izrečene razlike med obema strankama, ki jih je torej naštel Aldo, kako je potem potekalo sodelovanje med Hara in pa Boričem v tej njegovi vladi?
Ja, se pravi, kot rečeno, Hara je bila pod Boričem oziroma je upravljala položaj ministrice za delo. In v tem njegovem mandatu je uspelo sprejeti spremembe delovne zakonodaje, tako da se je delovnik skrajšal z 45 na 40 ur na teden. Pod Hara se je pa tudi zvišala minimalna plača v državi in sicer ta po novem znaša 485 evrov na mesec. Ne? Zdaj, ko je Borič prevzel predsedniški mandat, je minimalna plača znašala okoli 319 evrov, s 1. januarjem prihodnje leto pa se bo minimalna plača ponovno zvišala in sicer na skoraj 500 evrov. No, poleg tega je pa parlament sprejel tudi pokojninsko reformo, ampak ne takšno, kot si je želela, ker to je v bistvu primer tega, o čemer sva prej govorila, se pravi, da so morali iskati zaveznike, ker prvi predlog pokojninske reforme je bil takrat zavrnjen leta 2023, ampak vseeno, pač ta pokojninska reforma nekako vključuje povečanje prispevkov delodajalcev na 8,5%, vključuje tudi povišanje zajamčene minimalne pokojnine in pa spremembe zasebnih pokojninskih skladov. No, pokojninski sistem, ki je veljal pred spremembo, pa je bil uveljavljen leta 1980, torej v času diktature. Zdaj, ministrovanje Hara pa oceni sogovornik.
She was part of this government, and the labor ministry was in this government. This government hasn't had a very easy time because of many reasons, but one important one is that they didn't have a majority in Congress, so they had to negotiate everything with the right. It was quite a hard right to negotiate with, because they were also trying to stop many of the things that Boris wanted to do. Also because they wanted to boost their own, of course, election prospects. But actually, the labor ministry that was run by Hara was very successful. They came out with a lot of new laws that were negotiated, had to be negotiated. So this demonstrated that she not only, you know, from the Communist Party, she can run, she can show success, she can negotiate with everybody in Congress and get things done. So this was very important. And, you know, just to mention a few, pension reform, of course, not the one that the government wanted, but, you know, she managed to get that done. A reduction in the mandatory hours, working hours a week, from 45 to 40. Increases in the minimum wages, you know, historical increases in minimum wages, which had to do also with negotiations with employers and employer chambers. She was not just a fun person and a very charismatic leader, but also somebody who could get things done.
Se pravi, da zdaj sva razdelila bolj ministrovanje in morda bodoče predsedovanje Hara in njeno stranko, ampak bi se lahko posvetila še njenim protikandidatom.
Ja, drugo mesto je osvojil José Antonio Kast iz fašistične republikanske stranke. Zdaj, Kastov oče je bil nacist, ki je v Latinsko Ameriko zbežal po koncu druge svetovne vojne. Njegov brat Miguel je bil v 80-ih letih predsednik državne centralne banke, takrat pod diktatorjem Pinochetom, in je spodbujal neoliberalne ukrepe pod mentorstvom teh ekonomistov čikaške ekonomske šole, znanih kot čikaške fantje. No, leta 1990 pa se je José Antonio Kast pridružil Neodvisni demokratični uniji, ki kot stranka zagovarja in brani načela ter uredbe diktatorskega režima, ampak je potem to stranko zapustil in ustanovil novo, še bolj desničarsko stranko.
Kast is an interesting figure. So Kast belongs to a group of civilians that were tightly tied to the Pinochet dictatorship. They come from the law school of the Catholic University, a very conservative school. that produced many politicians that were tied to in different ways to the dictatorship. His mentor was one of the founders of the Pinochet written constitution that is even now prevailing in Chile. And he was a part for a long time of the party that emerged after democratization and was supposed to sort of defend the legacy of the dictatorship, which is called Unión Demócrata Independiente, so Independent Democratic Union. But I mean, all the people that, civilians that had been in the dictatorship, in the government of the dictatorship, they were in this UDI party. And he was there for a long time. He was part of the sort of conservative wing, but that party always had a conservative wing. But you know, as time, the political scenario in Chile with both left-wing and certain center-left and center-right converging in terms of, in programmatic terms, also because of different, you know, ways in which competition was arranged in the political system. Several wings from the sort of more radical wings, let's say both to the left of the center-left and to the right of the center-right, started departing and creating their own vehicles. So CAST is part of that right wing of the right, of the center-right.
And why is this new stranko zauzema?
Ja, CAST se je z republikanci umestil še bolj na desno, kot je bil za demokratično unijo. Zdaj, že samo ime republikanska stranka je v bistvu aluzija na republikansko stranko Donalda Trumpa oziroma to verzijo te stranke. No in za svojo stranko se je odločil, ker je tudi unija, se pravi njegova prejšnja stranka, začela kritizirati določene aspekte diktature in se je po njegovo pomaknila bolj proti sredini. No, CAST je pol v intervjuju tudi povedal, da bi Pinochet, če bi bil sedaj živ, volil zanj, a njegova kampanja pa je temeljila predvsem na boju proti zločinu in migracijam. No in recimo primer tega je, se pravi, če je njegov vzornik Trump se zavzemal za izgradnjo zidu na južni meji, bi CAST na severni meji zgradil jarke, postavil tam ovire in zidove, zato da bi se preprečil vstop migrantom. Njegovi gospodarski ukrepi pa temeljijo predvsem na krčenju državnih izdatkov in pa na deregulaciji.
He will concentrate mostly on the socioeconomic agenda. And the socioeconomic agenda is, first, a radical slashing of state expenditure. And the discourse is that most of this goes to corruption and cronies. That follows many corruption scandals, most of which are related to right-wing either mayors or deputies or, you know, members of right-wing governments. But during this last government, there have been some scandals. And of course, the public discourse and public opinion has put emphasis on that. And so the idea is now that all the corruption has to do with this current left-wing administration. So that's one thing, slashing government expenditure to, in a way, curb corruption. And the other one is, you know, we can say three parts. The other one is an agenda of economic growth based basically on slashing regulations. So mostly environmental regulations, which in his view are responsible for diminished economic growth and investment, which is actually not true because there's now record foreign investment in the country, but there has been a very steady and consistent attack on environmental regulations in the last couple of years. And the last one, last but not least, is related to immigration. This wasn't a very big discourse in his last elections. It is more now. But it's a specific discourse which relates immigration to crime.
Kako pa to, da so migracije prišle v spredje predvolilne kampanje, se pravi ta severni zid?
Ja, v bistvu v V zadnjih letih mislim, da se je povečalo to število migrantov iz enega odstotka leta 1991 na 9% leta 2020. No in poleg porasta migrantov je prišlo tudi do porasta pač ksenofobnih incidentov, pri čemer so ljudje uničevali migrantska taborišča in so potem tudi Združeni narodi opozorili na vse več ksenofobije, predvsem na severu države. No in od šestih regij, ki ležijo severno od prestolnice, je v štirih slavil tretje uvrščeni Franco Parisi, ker je predlagal, da bi na severno mejo postavili mine, zato da bi preprečili vstop migrantom v državo.
This is the geographical area where immigration comes in. Okay, so it is the north which has tamped most of the immigration kind of wave, and it has affected a lot, of course, the urban landscape with a lot of, immigrants. These people, you see, Venezuela is very far away from Chile. It's thousands of kilometers away. And these are people, it is a diaspora from Venezuela, so it's mostly Venezuelan immigrants right now, that came in during the pandemic, and there was a huge wave of, 500,000 immigrants in a few years. Many of them that crossed through a illegal border, non-official borders. And they, after walking thousands of kilometers, these people that have nothing, so they arrived there, they camp in public squares, and so the sort of urban impact is quite high, and the feeling of insecurity and so on. So these people have had this for a long time, and in a country like Chile, which is very centralized in Santiago, and actually local authorities don't have a lot of leeway for local policies, they feel like they are left behind with this.
Tretje uvrščeni Parisi ne deluje nežen do ljudstva. Član katere stranke pa je on?
Ja, on je ustanovitelj stranke ljudstva, ki je nekako ekonomsko-liberalno, ampak hkrati družbeno-konzervativna oziroma konzervativno gibanje. Predtem je že dvakrat kandidiral za predsednika, in sicer leta 2013 in pa 2021. Predtem pa je bil profesor ekonomije, ampak je med drugim tudi na ameriški univerzi v Teksasu takrat moral odstopiti z tega položaja zaradi obtožb o spolnem nadlegovanju. No, Parisija pa podrobneje predstavi sogovornik.
Parisi offered them this type of platform. Actually, he presents himself as somebody that comes from below, not as a somebody from the elite. He rejects both left and right, so quite anti-establishment, but unlike Cast or even the fourth candidate Kaiser, who are both have a discourse, anti-establishment discourse. This guy rejects both openly, both left and right. He embraces this sort of consumption culture. Like during his campaign, he was actually participating in car races, like these cars that are, I don't know how you say this in English, but you invest in the car and you upgrade them and put a larger kind of engine and sound and so on. And this is something that these people do when they have money, like they upgrade their cars and they buy big trucks and so on. And so he was participating in races or demonstration of these cars. And he was saying things like, hey, this should be about being able to earn more. And if you want to buy a car, that's it. If you want to just, throw money to your wife so she can have a surgery, that's great. You can do whatever. You should be able to do whatever with your money. Nobody should judge you for that.
Se pravi, Madariaga je zdaj povedal, da Parisi ne priznava nobene smeri, ne leve in ne desne, nobene stranke mu niso všeč. Se pravi, komu bodo potem sploh šli glasovi v drugem krogu?
No zdaj, zanimivo je izpostaviti že dejstvo, da Kast sploh ne potrebuje Parisijevih voljivcev, zato ker bi v drugem krogu, če bi se upoštevali rezultati prvega, zmagal, če bi bil edini kandidat nekak te desnega pola. Zdaj pa nisi zaenkrat, če ni podprl ne enega, ne drugega kandidata, ampak na prejšnjih predsedniških volitvah je pred drugim krogom podprl Kasta, tako da lahko verjetno pričakujemo, da bo podobno naredil tudi zdaj. Madriaga je pa mnenja, da se bo njegova volilna baza razdelila in podprla enega ali drugega kandidata.
He will most likely not support any of the candidates. The voters will likely split, but there's still a chance. I mean, even though Kast, as I said, has the higher chances, there's still a chance of a sort of a realignment of Parisi's voters, of the people that didn't go to vote, and maybe the center-right candidate got votes from the center, and maybe those votes will not want to go for a radical right. So there are a lot of ifs still to be made.
Se pravi, predsedniškim volitvam so se dodobra posvetila. Kako je bilo pa na parlamentarnih?
Ja, na parlamentarnih volitvah je slavila koalicija levosredinskih strank enotno začile. Osvojila je okoli 30% vseh glasov, ampak kljub temu se je njeno število poslancev v spodnjem domu zmanjšalo z 72 na 61 poslancev, v zgornjem domu pa bodo imeli 20 senatorjev, kar je en več kot v prejšnjem sklicu. No, v zgornjem domu je bilo drugače na volitvah, možno dobiti samo 23 od 50 sedežev, se pravi malo manj kot polovica. Drugo mesto je zasedel fašistični blok Sprememba za Čile, ki je prejel 23% glasov, kar je 42 sedežev v spodnjem domu in pa sedaj skupno 7 sedežev v senatu. Na tretje mesto pa je pripadlo desno-liberalnemu bloku Veliki in enotni Čile, ki je prejel 21% glasov in bo imel sedaj 34 poslancev v spodnjem domu in pa skupno 18 v zgornjem. Zdaj, ti rezultati pomenijo, da ima skrajno desna koalicija obeh zavezništev, se pravi tako Sprememba za Čile kot Veliki in enotni Čile, večino v zgornjem domu, od večine v spodnjem domu pa ji manjkata samo 2 poslanca, ampak za sprejetje zakonov se bi recimo lahko povezali z stranko Franka Parisija, se pravi bi na ta način zlahka prišli do večine. Madariaga pa pove, da poleg sprejetja zakonov lahko fašistična koalicija v bistvu prejme tudi dovolj glasov za spreminjanje ustave.
They have a simple majority in the chamber, so 50% plus one, which allows them to change simple laws. In the Senate, it's a half and half, so they will need one extra person to have the 50% plus one. And there are two independent candidates that they could easily tap into. So they can have the 50% plus one to pass any simple law very easily. And then there's the 4/7 threshold to make constitutional amendments. This threshold used to be 2/3. But as part of the whole constitutional process in Chile, I'm not going to get into that because it's too long, but basically two aborted or voted, rejected constitutional projects. After that, there was an agreement to lower the threshold to reform the constitution so that at least some changes could be done through parliament. But this means that now the threshold is lower. You have a different a composition of parliament that could actually get that 4/7 threshold. And for the Kast government, if he wins, which is very likely, as I said, to get that 4/7 threshold to change the constitution, he would need to have to lure parliamentarians from Parisi's Partido de la Gente, and that could happen. So, but you know, it's not completely Parisi's Partido de la Gente is difficult to situate. There are very right-wingers there, but also other people, not that much. During the current government, Parisi had like something like six, the party's like 6 deputies. They all resigned from the party and joined other caucuses in parliament.
So bile pa to prve volitve po uvedbi obveznega glasovanja?
Ja, Čile je leta 2012 prvič uvedel neobvezno glasovanje, ampak je potem leta 2022, pa je 10 let kasneje, to ponovno spremenil zaradi nizke volilne udeležbe. Zdaj, ta je bila letos 85-odstotna, kar je, mislim, da okoli 40-odstotnih točk več kot na predsedniških volitvah v prejšnjem desetletju, se pravi, ko je bilo glasovanje neobvezno. Kot pa pojasnjuje sogovornik, je levosredinsko zavezništvo v tem mandatu računalo na to, da bi z obveznim glasovanjem pridobili več glasov, ampak se jim nekako ta računica ni šla.
We used to have voluntary voting system, and actually voting participation was very low, and we were having participations of 50% or less for presidential elections, even less, like close to 40 or less for municipal elections. So there was a reform, there was a calculation also, mostly by left-wing forces, that by extending and doing voting mandatory, most of those vote would go to the left. But the problem is that those that didn't go to vote were actually people that weren't interested in politics. And sociologically speaking, this is a very interesting population because you don't know how it behaves. And actually what we're seeing now, they have a very special profile of, both socioeconomically, culturally, and what you see is that they flip a lot. And they're voting more for, you know, radical candidates or even anti-establishment candidates. And they, you know, there's a lot of anger, even for the very fact of being compelled and obliged to go to vote. And so, and these people are actually the kingmakers. So that's marking a lot the fate of elections lately. And it's very likely that caste will win, not just because of the mere arithmetic of just summing up the vote. These sort of swing people are anti-establishment. Jara was a minister during the current administration of Boric. She has a lot of interesting and good policies to show that she's a capable and able woman, capable also of making commitments and compromises with different forces. But actually, if you see this is the case in Chile, but also in the rest of Latin America, incumbents don't win elections. And I could even say elsewhere in the world.
No, se pravi, če bi povzela zdaj, Jara iz komunistične stranke je sicer slavila v prvem krogu predsedniških volitev v Čilu, ampak verjetno lahko v drugem krogu pričakujemo, da se bo rezultat obrnil, se pravi, da bo José Antonio Kast, ki je predstavnik in kandidat fašističnega bloka, da bo on osvojil več kot 50% glasov, ker v bistvu nekako že s trenutno računico bi prišel na več kot polovico glasov, če bi vse desne stranke ga podprle, in tako se bo verjetno ta levosredinska koalicija oziroma levosredinsko zavezništvo, ki ga je trenutno vodil Gabriel Boric, predsednik države, se bo verjetno poslovilo in bodo na oblast prišli simpatizerji nekdanjega diktatorja Augusta Pinocheta.
Hvala ti, kultivirala pa sva Tim in živa.